I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel. I'll be reading from chapter 5. In your bulletin, it indicates the verses are verses 43 to 48, and it also says the page number. I would invite you to open up your hymnal, or open up the Bible in your hymnal rack, and feel free to follow along as I read the scripture. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In Matthew's Gospel, it's recorded that Jesus gathers with a crowd. He went up on a hill, he sat down, and then he began to teach. And this teaching became known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus began this famous teaching with the Beatitudes. And you're probably familiar with the Beatitudes because this past summer we did a sermon series on the Beatitudes. Well, later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught about loving all people, which is the passage of teaching I just read. Well, when I read this passage from Scripture, I imagine that the crowd was perhaps surprised and maybe even confused by his teaching, because Jesus taught to love your enemy and to pray for those who persecute you. Can you just hear someone standing up amongst the crowd and raising their hand and saying, "Excuse me, Jesus, I'm supposed to love my enemy? I'm supposed to pray for those who are persecuting me? I'm supposed to do what?" Well, if there wasn't a vocal reaction and someone actually standing up to question Jesus, there must have been a few mental pauses as people stopped to really question and to think about what Jesus was asking them to do. Or certainly there were a few whispers among the crowd with this new teaching. Because what Jesus was asking the crowd gathered there to do was a very unnatural response. Of course we can love our neighbor, right? But we're supposed to love our enemy, and we're supposed to pray for those who persecute us. Jesus, I'm supposed to do what? Unfortunately, lots of us have enemies, or at least people that we have a difficult time getting along with. And the first century Christians understood that. They had enemies. They certainly had people who were persecuting them. If you can remember from any church history, you'll remember that it wasn't until the 4th century that Christianity became a legal religion, thanks to Roman Emperor Constantine. But until the 4th century, Christians were persecuted for their belief in Jesus Christ. And many Christians in the United States today have a difficult time relating to what it must be like to be persecuted for the faith. But around the globe, it's a much different story. Christians living in countries like Nigeria, Kenya, India, North Korea, they experience persecution all the time, perhaps even on a daily basis. I was reading in a November article called Persecuted. It came from the Christian Century magazine, and it said, quote, "By one estimate, as many as 11 Christians are killed each hour somewhere in the world." The quote continues, "It's reported that between 2006 and 2010, Christians faced some form of discrimination in 139 countries. That's close to three-fourths of Christians, three-fourths of all the nations of the world. So in face of this persecution, Jesus taught the gathered crowd to pray for those people that are persecuting us. And ultimately, we're supposed to love our enemies, not just our neighbors. Well, that's a difficult calling. That's a troubling calling. That's a very unnatural calling. Yes, we can love our enemy, but we're supposed to love, or we can love our neighbor, but we're supposed to love our enemy? No, thank you. No, thank you, Jesus. And what type of love exactly was he really talking about? Well, when Jesus taught that we were supposed to love our enemy, he didn't mean that we were supposed to develop these warm, fuzzy feelings towards our enemy. He wasn't talking about developing romantic feelings like we have for our partner or our family. The type of love that Jesus wanted the crowd to show their enemy was action-filled love. This is the type of love that's shown through kind actions in the midst of conflict and in the midst of oppression. And then Jesus went on to give an example of this type of love when he told them to turn the other cheek or to walk the second mile. A couple of weeks ago in worship, Pastor Gary preached on going the second mile. If you can remember that sermon, follow here with me. If you missed the sermon, you can pick a copy up in the narthex. But Pastor Gary explained that under the Roman Empire, Roman soldiers could require their citizens to carry their very heavy packs and all of their equipment for the distance of 1 mile along any Roman roadway. And this was the way that the Roman Empire oppressed its citizens, showed power, and showed control ultimately. Well, Jesus taught that instead of responding to the Rome's oppressive power by refusing to carry the packs, he told the disciples to show love towards their enemy through their action. And the loving action that Jesus wanted them to show was to carry the pack a second mile, not just 1 mile. He wanted the disciples to go 2 miles. Jesus wanted his followers to overcome evil with love. So when citizens walked a second mile with the soldiers, they modeled that oppression is not the way of life. Love is the way of life, for love is the way of Christ. And following the way of Christ calls from a much different response from us, a much different response than what the world would give. Whereas the world likes to respond to violence with violence, and evil with evil, and oppression with oppression, we're supposed to respond to our enemies with love. And humanity can choose to show kindness. Humanity can choose to show compassion and can choose to show love to one another. And we can even choose to show love and compassion and kindness to our enemies. For when we do this, we're following the way of Christ. But it's a conscious choice that we must make every day. Every day we must wake up and make this conscious choice to love in the way of Christ. I've learned that we're able to respond differently than what the world would have us respond because of 3 reasons. First, I've come to realize that we can choose to love because God chose to love us. Second, I've come to realize that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love even when it's difficult. And finally, I've learned that we are sustained to continue loving others through Holy Communion. So first, we can choose to love because God chose to love us. You know, as humans, we can do some really great things. Take, for example, people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Cesar Chavez. These are people that have done incredible things around the world in the name of love and the name of justice and peace. But as humans, we also know that we have the ability to really mess up, to sin, to disobey God, to turn our back upon God. And you know from the story in Genesis, that creation narrative, that Jesus created humanity in God's loving image. Yet we quickly, from the beginning of creation, sinned and disobeyed God and turned our back upon God. But the good news is, you gotta always have to have good news in church. The good news is that even though we've turned our back upon God, God has never stopped loving us. For God chose to love us while we were yet sinners, sending his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of our sins and our mistakes, and to model a different way of life, a way of love. Because God chose to love us with all of our flaws and all of our brokenness and of all of our messed up ways of behavior, we too can choose to love other people. But it takes a conscious choice every day. It takes a conscious choice to love them. We can choose to love people because God chose to love us. Second, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love even when it's difficult. Most of the time, go with me here on this, most of the time it's pretty easy to love our family and our friends because they're the ones that love us. It's our family and friends that support us and encourage us during difficult times. It's our family and friends that we call upon when we want to celebrate our birthdays and we want to celebrate holidays and anniversaries. So it's pretty easy to love our family and our friends. But then, it's a little harder to love the people that we've been in conflict with. Such as that old grumpy old man down the street. That's the guy that always cuts through your yard. He plays music way too loud in the backyard, and he doesn't put away his trash can, so they're always rolling out into the street. And not to mention that grumpy old man is always parking way too close to your driveway, making it hard for you to get out in the morning, especially with all of this snow. It's a little harder to love the people that we've had some conflict with, isn't it? So it's pretty easy to love family and friends, a little harder to love those people we've been in conflict with. And it's nearly impossible to love our enemy. And they are the person or the people that have caused deep pain and deep suffering and anger and bitterness in our lives. Our enemy may be an actual person, or it might be a situation in our life, or our enemy might even be ourselves. Maybe we're the ones that are causing some pain and suffering in our own life. So enemies come in these all different forms and shapes and sizes. But whatever and whomever your enemy might be, we could all agree that loving your enemy is pretty difficult. But we have to have good news. We have to have good news. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to love even when it's difficult. This means that the Holy Spirit provides strength for us to choose love rather than hate. The Holy Spirit provides us patience when we think that we are just about ready to lose our mind. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps me pray each day this little prayer. God, grant me the patience I need when I face difficult situations. Grant me peace when I'm frustrated. God, grant me joy to realize that I really am blessed. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us cope and makes it possible to love people who are just so difficult and they just get under our skin. The Holy Spirit helps us love even our enemies. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to love even when it's difficult. And third, I've come to realize that we are sustained to continue loving others through the sacrament of Holy Communion. When we gather around the communion table, we break bread and we share in the cup, and we remember that Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room on the night before he was crucified. And Jesus explained that the bread was his body, which is broken and is given for us. And he explained that the cup is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for us and for many for the forgiveness of sin. And he explained that each time we partake of the bread and partake of the cup, we should do this in remembrance of him. You see, Holy Communion is a means of grace, meaning that it's a sign and it's a symbol of God's love and God's grace for us. And so every time we gather around this table and come forward to receive the elements, we remember that the bread and the cup is the life-giving, life-sustaining love of God. And when we receive that love from God, we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to go out into the world and share it with those around us. This includes even our enemies. This morning when we are going to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, we celebrate it in an open communion table. This means that people of all different backgrounds are welcome to come and receive this means of grace that's been made known to us through Jesus Christ. So children and adults and visitors and members, United Methodists, people of other denominations are all welcome to come forward to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. It's Christ's table, not our table. It's Christ's table. So all are welcome to come forward. And this morning we're going to be receiving communion through into the style of intinction. This simply means when you come down the aisle, you'll receive a piece of bread. You reach in from the basket, grab a piece of bread, and slightly dip it in the cup, and then partake. Friends, we're sustained to continue loving because of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Many of Jesus' teachings were very challenging, especially this teaching this morning. But as Christians, we're called to respond differently than what the world would have us respond, and by God's grace, we can choose to love because God chose to love us. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love even when it's difficult. And we are sustained to continue loving through Holy Communion. Thanks be to God. Amen.